listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, and Wayne may join us, but he may not join us. We'll see how that pans out. But if he doesn't join us, I know he'll join us very soon. So, it's our first show of 2025. We have special guest Drew Taunton with us. Drew, welcome.
Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, thanks for having me again. I know it's been a while since I was last on. So,
Drew's been on the show. Yeah. Drew does some of the does all the editing for podcasts, and the our when we release the information to iHeartRadio and Apple iTunes, Drew does the front part of that. But more importantly, right, Drew is a certified life coach, right? And Drew's been on the show before, and this is another good checkpoint and benchmark show to kind of check. I wanted to focus the show on him mostly, right, to see where he's at, what he's doing. The reason why we're doing this, the reason why I want to do this, is because it's, you get to see, you know, seeing is believing. You get to see what Drew's doing, what this young man is doing with his career and how it's progressing. And like I tell everybody else that I've helped get into the coaching and or counseling business, if you do these fundamentals, right, and you will succeed. If you put the requisite work into your business or your practice or your goals, you more than likely will succeed. Now, it doesn't happen all the time, right? But nearly every time, and certainly every time with anyone that I've worked with over the span of 30 years, if they did the work, there were they got the fruits of their labor, came back. Now, you know, I mean, is it tenfold, hundredfold, millionfold? Now, there's a little bit of luck in that. Now, I'm not going to lie, right, in terms of how bountiful the return is. But if the return is certainly a net positive, then that's a huge victory. And so we're going way beyond that. So we've had others on the show. We've had Brennan C., Sherrod, others, you know, of course, you know, the great Wayne himself. But that goes without saying, right? That guy's the master coach and master of sales, right? So anyhow, Drew, it's 2025, man.
Yes, sir.
How, before I start picking everything apart, how do you feel? Because we met in 22 or 20. When did you start doing stuff in the office, in 22 or 23?
I think it was the summer of 22, because that was my second half of my sophomore year at Auburn.
Wow, you were a sophomore then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do you?
Junior, so during that period.
Wow. So now it's been 2 years. We're going to call it a two full years because it's still January.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about how far you've traveled in 2 years and 1 month or whatever? But does it feel like it was long, short, medium? What are some of your initial impressions?
Yeah, it's weird because actually living out the day-to-day stuff, it doesn't really seem like there's this huge amount of change. But when I go back and kind of review where I was and I was talking to on the phone in Auburn versus to where I'm at now, I mean, there's been a ton of change. And then even when I graduated, there's been a lot of change. And I mean, you were the one who told me about the life coaching in the first place. And I got certified, you know, July of 23. And then I really started getting the work, doing the work process last January. So, I mean, that's been a year now, and that's just kind of crazy to think about. So I think when I actually look back at the progression, there's a lot of change. But when I was actually living it out, it really didn't feel like there was that much change going on. But definitely when I look back, there's been a huge bunch of steps. Yeah.
Yeah, it does, you know. Being an old person, not really, but you know, God, 2022 is yesterday. You know what I mean? That's just simply a blink of an eye in old man time. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, it just seems like yesterday you know, I was eating dinner with you and your dad in South Lake, and we were talking about some stuff. And
yeah, Del Frisco's.
Yeah, yeah, getting involved in some stuff, and now here we are. So let's review that.
Yeah.
So, and folks, maybe you're a parent who has a college age child or somebody you know that. I mean, this could be a story for that person as well. If you're a person starting your career in coaching or counseling, this is definitely a story for you. Okay. Come in, you go to Auburn, you finish your undergraduate degree in psychology.
Yes, sir.
You got some good experiences. You joined the, were you in the Honor Society, Psychi or anything?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was in Psychi. Yeah, so I joined that.
Check that box. Honor Society, good grades, got some experience. Yeah, you had some experiences with my office, which is pretty huge as an undergraduate to come into a psychotherapy practice and shag balls and do all the other stuff, but it certainly looks good. Now, did you do some other experiences with church or mission work or anything like that?
Yeah, so at my church, I helped. I worked with the youth for the summer. That was the end of my freshman year of college, so I worked with the youth, went to youth camp, and then throughout the summer, help with teaching and stuff like that, meeting up with guys, hanging out, coming up with lessons and games and stuff to do. So I did that throughout throughout the end of my freshman year. And then when I was at Auburn, another thing I did, I also helped do the hotline for a group called Rape Counselors of East Alabama.
Yes.
And so I did that for about a year at Auburn. And so basically my job was to take calls in, you know, report anything, refer people to the clinics or whatever. I didn't get a ton of calls, which, you know, I would say is a positive thing. You know, there's not a ton of, you know, activity going on, at least when I was on the hotline. But I did that as well. Those were like the two main things that I did when I was at Auburn, aside from working with you.
Yeah. So, and again, that is a championship experience. Undergraduate degree, good grades, honor society, had experience with kids, your church, the rape crisis line, and stuff in the practice. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that in terms of an undergraduate walking away with a four-year degree and have that kind of contact experience at different levels. So that's just an awesome platform. And he did real well. Now, you got your certified life coach before you graduated Auburn?
Yeah, so I got that July of 23, and then I graduated December of 23. So there was kind of this period, maybe not a dead period, but a period where I went back to school, focused on that, and then coaching really started kickstarting after I graduated, because that's when I started going to the networking events and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So here we are. So you finished your undergraduate degree. And as that's closing down, we say, hey, we're going to go ahead and put you through the coaching academy and become a certified life coach. And that way, once you're a certified life coach, you can be earning income. You can do coaching clients to get experience and or money.
Yeah.
While you're working on your graduate degree. Okay. So then, and the plan all along, I was to get up, go ahead and move forward and get your master's in counseling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when were you accepted to Dallas Baptist University?
That was, I think it was January of last year, or I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
January of 24, because I graduated, and then I applied and went and interviewed, and then like 2 days later got accepted in. So that was in January. So yeah, that was right after I graduated.
But so when was your first full semester of Dallas Baptist?
Yeah, so that was this August, this last August we had. So I took, you know, about a year off of school. And so basically that was meant to help with, you know, the coaching practice, continuing to get more experience for that. So I'd be in a better position for once grad school started, I would be more familiar with what they're talking about and also get my name out there and, and stuff, and also work with clients in between when I graduated Auburn and then when I started at DBU.
Okay. Yeah. And that's okay. I know a lot of kids take what's called a gap year, whatever. And I forgot that it was close to that. I was thinking it might've been almost a straight line, but that's okay, man. Now you had it was time well spent, time well served, getting your certification. And again, and that certainly, I think it helped. It certainly didn't hurt having all that again on your application to Dallas Baptist.
For sure.
So, okay. So let's talk about your coaching experiences and networking appearances.
Yeah.
From getting your coaching to entering Dallas Baptist.
Yeah. So I think when I first started doing networking, that was either late January or early February of 24. And so I think the first one I went with you, we went to the Beeman Hotel. So that was kind of my first meeting. And then I think you and I have been to a few, and then went to Fusion Dallas, gone there a lot. Fusion Southlake, KCA, which is in Keller. So just a bunch of different places. And then a lot of the people that I've met at the networking events, I've connected with them and gone and toured their places. And so what I normally try to do is get a picture of myself or with someone else and post that on my Facebook account and my LinkedIn, just to, you know, keep that active and alive. And then I got my first client in beginning of, I think I started talking to them April, but then pulled the trigger in May, working with a client, which, you know about that. Yeah, I was a little bit out of the ordinary because normally, you know, once or twice a week for a couple hours is like the normal coaching rate at which, you know, people, which coaches see their clients and stuff. But for him, it was 20 hours a week. So that was 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So we did that. Summer.
That is fantastic to get a large client like that.
Yeah.
Particularly in the beginning of your career.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is, at least in theory, is it takes the pressure off you to have to feel like you got to be out there marketing and grinding and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you pretty much have a caseload that's meeting your financial needs. I mean we're never, we can always use more money, right? I mean, but yeah. But wow. Okay. So let's pause there. So you haven't entered graduate school yet, but here's what you've accomplished up to that point in summer of 2024. Finished your undergraduate degree, accepted, got your acceptance into Dallas Baptist,
mm-hmm.
got your personal Facebook page kind of in order, and then you got Drew Taunton coaching Facebook page, right?
Yeah, and LinkedIn as well.
And I was going to say, more important, and very importantly, the LinkedIn. The LinkedIn is a very important page. Okay. I think it's very important because it's more than just an online resume. Yes, it is an online resume. Make no mistake about it. However, you know, it lets people know that you're in the space, that you're viable, and that you're working, right? It, you know, it's not, you're not looking for a job. I know a lot of people use LinkedIn because they're looking for a job. I hear you. That's great. That's not why we do that. You know, I make, you know, anyway, I say this, that I make my people do it. And I think my own son is kind of falling, you know, I got to work on my son's LinkedIn. I'm here preaching everybody. And then my son is, and then the other son kind of has one. He did one. And then he just, but it's just so basic. It's like, I'm alive. I own a car dealership.
Leave still me alive. Alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Leave me alone. Let me be very successful without any help from anybody. So, and that's awesome because he is. And it's always good to see that. All right. So yeah, so you had your LinkedIn. And mm-hmm. LinkedIn kind of had all your resume stuff on there and your coach and this and that. And then when you would go to these networking it's networking, meetings, and it's also sometimes we do these presentations together, right?
Yeah.
And so you take a picture and you put that on your Facebook and you put that on your LinkedIn. And some people have business. You have a Binsta, a business Instagram?
I haven't posted on Instagram in 5 years.
And that's okay. In theory, we probably should be doing that because everybody likes Instagram just a little bit better. Yeah. And the pictures you take are good. And the pictures that you take get really good metrics on the other stuff. So we probably should do that. So maybe that's something we can look at for 2025. I mean, just whatever. So, but you have the certification, clients, and now you have this whole infrastructure with social media, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're going to these networking meetings. Ladies and gentlemen, right? And I told you that I couldn't stress the importance of the networking meetings, because this is how you get your brand out there. This is how you introduce yourself to the community. Look, people do digital ad spend. People spend a crap ton of money on on other stuff, on you know, social media advertising. Man, if you can do it, do it. Mm-hmm. I was cheap in the day and poor or whatever. Working for the Bureau of Prisons, I didn't have that kind of money. Working for the Bureau of Prisons, I was shagging balls every day to pay tuition for the kids' school and all this other stuff. Man, I was always paycheck to paycheck. I didn't have time for that stuff, but. So I got out there. I joined the Chamber of Commerce, other stuff. And so, Drew, you've been going to these networking meetings, right?
Yep.
And then some of the rehabs, but in Drew's case, there is a school, I guess you might say it's a very private school that has multiple locations here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And this school is based out of California, interestingly, or at least it was founded out there near Malibu, and it's been a very raving success here. And so that's a venue where you have kids that either maybe were homeschooled, go to this private school, or have siblings that need kind of coaching. So I guess give us an overview of your Fusion meetings and the Fusion experience, how that's been good.
You know, it's been good. I mean, Fusion is probably my strongest networking place. I mean, they're always having events, and they've been the ones who've had probably the most referrals at this point. I mean, they do a really, really good job of events and stuff, and they actually asked me to help run a cornhole tournament during their 10-year anniversary party, which I don't think a single person actually like legitimately participated, but some people came in and were, you know, throwing cornhole stuff. And so I kind of helped set up stuff, take it down, and let people know about me and my stuff. So that was a really good experience, even though the cornhole was a little bit of a underwhelming experience, but that was fun. And then actually, I think in about a little less than 2 weeks now, you and I are going to go do a presentation at the Dallas campus, just talking about the counseling and coaching and stuff. So the Fusion Dallas.
Send me the date on that so I can put it in my calendar.
Yeah, it should be January 14th, but I'll get back in contact with them. But yeah, no, they've been a really, really good source for me. Mostly the Dallas one is the one I've gone to. The Southlake one's also been really good. I've met some good people there. And it's starting to get to the point now where I'm starting to see a lot of the same people. Which is good, because I'm getting very familiar with them and you know, getting more comfortable with each other and with referrals and stuff like that. So yeah, no, Fusion has been a really good program for me, and that's actually how I got connected with my client that I worked with over the summer, was through Fusion Dallas.
Right, and then the Fusion Dallas folks back in 13, 14, 15, I was seeing a lot of their folks on the licensed professional counseling side. And then conversely, I was making referrals to them from some of these Episcopal School of Dallas, St. Mark's, Cistercian, Jesuit. You know, they were trying some kids that needed some more, let's say, focused academic stuff. And so, so I'm glad I was able to have that experience to then, you know, pass that to you. Because that's just a good demographic for your practice. By the way, did you go to KCA today?
I did. Yes. That's why I'm in this get up. I went to, KCA. I think their meeting was at 11:30 to 1:00. So that was good. Talked to some people there. And they did a presentation over human trafficking. So
yeah, I saw that guy. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Was it good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he did a good job. There was a lot of statistics he gave and talked about the statistics and the Dallas-Fort Worth area and just Texas as a whole. So yeah, no, it was good, and met a couple new people. I met a guy who does a 12-step program for people struggling with drugs and alcohol. he saw my Rise Up Kings bracelet and started asking me about that. And so he's a Christian. And so he knows about Rise Up Kings, which is a Christian business. Basically they help develop men, you know, to be stronger masculine leaders and stuff. And they focus on four main pillars: faith, fitness, finance, and family, not in that particular order, but, so we talked about that. And so that was good getting to talk to him. So yeah, the meeting today went well.
Good.
So, yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's the Keller Counselors Association. That was something that I used to go to really regular back in the day. It's always good to see other practitioners in the area. My office was in Southlake, Texas. Keller is the next town that touches or is contiguous to Southlake. It's always good for people in private practice to see other people in private practice, because they really don't, you know, we're pretty much alone, right? So the downside of having a really busy and flourishing practice is you're making money and you're seeing clients, but you're not interacting with your peers. You're just kind of in your own world. And so getting out to these networking meetings or meetings is good just to see other people. You know what I mean? Like, hey, what are you doing, man? What's going on? And stuff like that. And I've done several presentations for them. And because of them, we got connected, right, with the Keller Independent School District, right? Didn't we do a presentation out there?
Yeah, I think we did. So it was me, you, Sherrod, and I think we had the presentation last April 24. Yeah. So, I mean, we did that for, what, like an hour or so? We had that presentation.
Oh, did you give a list of all your things?
Yeah, so I have a list. It's on a Google Doc, and so I'm pretty sure we did it in April. I mean, I don't have it pulled up, but yeah. So we had that one with Sherrod.
So yeah, when we do the one in the other school district,
let's see, we did Illuminate the Path, which was October 9th, I think.
Oh,
yeah. So I mean, we talked for like an hour in front of like 40 people. I think we're in our room.
And is there another presentation in there that we did? Was it just two or was it three?
I think it's just those two as of right now. And then we have that one at Fusion planned next. And then
coming up.
Yeah.
Right. Again, right. So these presentations, if you're able to give a kind of a scholarly, if you will, or ish presentation to a group of people, that is a huge win. That's a win on so many levels. Again, people get to see you. They get to know you, know what you do. Then you hand them business cards, right? Wiz has stacks of business cards. Everybody in attendance gets a business card, right? And you know what? We, on some of these, the phone, you know, we got some phone calls. Sometimes it would result in a client. Sometimes it wouldn't. But they'd have a name with the face and a card. So one of the things that I kind of came up with was this presentation that includes counseling and coaching. So in other words, the client comes in here for the office visits. And if they have any extended mental health needs or behavioral support that's pretty dysfunctional, I can take that on. And then Drew can, and or the coach takes on the day-to-day stuff, right? And yeah. So you have a client who's seeing a licensed counselor or psychiatrist or whatever, but or maybe all three, who knows? But then they have a counselor that they can see at least weekly to rehearse some of those treatment goals. And I want you to share with that one client that you had, you were like, remember, you were like in a treatment team of four or five at first.
Yeah.
And talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So there was about five of us, I think, working with him. So I was the one who was kind of more so in the trenches. I would see him every day, 4 hours a day. He had an LPC that he saw once a week. They had a family therapist, I think a music therapist, and there was someone else. I forgot what they did. But yeah, so there was a bunch of us. And so what we'd do is we'd have kind of a meeting once a week. So kind of just calling and updating each other. I mean, a lot of them have moved on and stuff. I mean, I still work with him, just not as frequently, but we'd call once a week and kind of update each other. And it was good, but it was pretty intense at times. There were a lot of moments where I would have to de-escalate a situation, which that was interesting. I mean, there were a couple of times I didn't do anything, but like there were a couple of times where he, you know, threatened to like run away or call the cops. And so I was just like, okay, how the heck do I, you know, do this? Cause I'd never, you know, really been in that situation before. So I kind of had to learn on the fly, but clearly I think I handled it well enough to where he still wanted to, you know, still work with me. His family was still wanting to work with me and such. And yeah, no, I still work with him now, but it's more so every other weekend, you know, doing 4 hours.
Sure. So. No, that's great. And so that's called the interdisciplinary treatment team.
Yeah.
The interdisciplinary treatment team, where you get the coach and the therapist and this therapist and that therapist and possibly a physician and the parent, and everybody meets together and kind of talks about what we're going to do with this kid and what are some of the strategies moving forward. And then all the providers are on the same page with this kid, right?
Yeah.
And that is a good thing, at least in theory. And if it can hold together, then that's a wonderful thing. So, so again, that was a huge experience for you clinically.
Yeah.
To have that. And I guess I'll say parenthetically that even though you're coaching this kid, you pretty much had some other issues obviously going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he had a mild form of autism, but he had some other stuff going on that would make it very difficult for him to cope with the, you know, the environment and stuff. And I think when we first started working together, it was difficult because we were doing a lot, forcing him to do a lot of things he didn't necessarily want to do. But as it progressed, we had to find this balance of, okay, these are things we need to do, but we're not necessarily going to like force it to the point of where the escalation gets so out of control. And I think once, because I think it kind of evolved into this like mentorship, older brother kind of role as well with the coaching. And I think once I kind of fit more into that, I think he started to open up more about things. And I mean, he'll call me and stuff and like tell me, you know, he's going to go do something or he likes this girl or whatever, just to update me. So I think I hopefully won him over. So
no, and that was quite a process. He was pretty challenging there at times.
Yeah.
But I remember. And so,
yeah,
and that's another good experience for you to, because not all of our clients, you know, not all of our clients are 100% compliant or, you know, yeah, what I mean? Super duper motivated for change or whatever. Sometimes there's roadblocks or resistances or challenges, right?
Yeah. Well, especially with adolescents, I think.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think the biggest roadblock is like phones. I think phones, like especially in a counseling or coaching setting, there needs to be no phones at all, because they just get glued to it. And so either you have to take it away and they get super upset, or you don't take it away and then nothing happens. And it's like, you're just reinforcing the bad behavior. So it's like, one thing that we had to do is set ground rules of, okay, when you are with Drew, you will not have your phone. You turn the phone into me, and then I give it back to him when he's done.
Right.
If I feel like he's, you know, earned it or whatever. But right. That was definitely something that was frustrating to have to work with, is when they get that phone, it's like that becomes their entire world. It's like, all right, like we got to do something about the phone. So
that's true. So and there were some kind of power struggles about when he could access the phone during the tutoring, the 4-hour tutoring session, or and you have to use that as an incentive to get other behaviors executed. So yeah, it's that's real. So that's a beautiful thing. I don't have. I make a term on vibrate and face down, right, in case their parents call or whatever. But I make sure the phone is face down on vibrate.
Yeah.
And that's been a good compromise. And you know, usually people don't, you know, if it vibrates and they go like this, they put it right down and we're good, you know. But I know how that is because I get calls that I gotta get sometimes. Yeah. So I don't.
You have me calling or texting you.
Sometimes, very rare, but yeah, there's other things from time to time that I have to attend to. So don't want to be too much of a double standard. Okay, well, so now, and your first coaching contract was a 3-month contract, right? And then we went month to month from there. How did it work? I forgot.
Yeah. So the summer was 3 months. And so the way that we ended up doing it, because normally, you know, we talk about doing, I think Bruce just went out, but basically what we normally do is we do a 3-month contract because it takes about 90 days for the things that we're wanting to implement to really take root into somebody's mind. But with him, just because it was our first time working together, we started out with 1-month contract. So basically the contract would be May to June. We'll see how that goes. If things went well and we like the connection, then we'll do June, July, August, you know, so on and so forth. So for my client, we did monthly, but normally it's usually 3 months. But now it's a little different because we do biweekly now, just because I've been in school and such. So we've switched from monthly to biweekly.
Good.
So I was just explaining the normally it's 3 months, but I was talking about how we did month to month with him. And then now good. It's, twice a month.
Well, so that's good. And then, you know, once you clear that first 3-month contract, you can do month to month or whatever. You can be creative. You can go another 3.
Yeah.
You can go month to month, whatever. But we want to get that initial 3-month commitment out of our clients. The research shows that for coaching to work, it's a 3-month commitment. So we want to do that in the beginning from our paperwork and have something that reflects what the research says. So it's not it's not a sales technique, you know, believe it or not, it really is. And it makes sense too, you know, it makes sense because I want to have people buy in to the process. You know what I mean? I want them to have skin in the game.
Yeah.
Usually the people that have that kind of commitment to the process will do better.
Yeah.
And be more focused on their goals and what they need to do. So that's why that is. So you went to DBU and all throughout the, you know, back half of 24 and a little bit. So
yes, how was, yeah.
How would you compare and contrast what you learned in counseling program versus coaching program and compare and contrast a little bit?
Yeah. So for coaching, at least, I feel like, well, it's a little different because there's not as many people as involved. Like, I feel like for the coaching, I had the Life Coach Institute, but that was only 3 days. And then outside of that, you know, working with you and
right.
And Sherrod, that's been kind of my main exposure with coaching. With the counseling program at DBU, I mean, it's, you know, it's school. I mean, I don't have like school for coaching. I did the, you know, certification process. So it's a little different there. And then with the counseling program. So one of my classes I took this semester was basic counseling skills. So that's where you really learn how to be in the counseling environment, which a lot of the skills and stuff they teach you also applies to coaching, like good active listening, you know, reflective listening, summarization and stuff like that, empathy and stuff like that. So that was good. But we, in that class, one thing we did is we had video projects. So basically what we'd do is you'd partner up with somebody and then you'd film yourself for, I think the first video was 20 minutes, the next one, 30 minutes, the last one, like, I think 30 minutes again, and you do different portions of the counseling session. So for the first video, you'd have to do intro session, talk about informed consent, the limits of confidentiality, you know, talk about the intake form, stuff like that. And then the second video was really about implementing the skills that you have, like attending, counter transference, just noticing how you're feeling, you know, asking them questions, kind of helping walk through the process with them. And then the third and final one was concluding the counseling relationship. And so basically we'd film that and then we'd go in class and we'd watch it in front of class, which is pretty nerve wracking, but I think it's good because it forces you A, to face, you know, your fears and discomfort, and B, it allows you to realize that your fears aren't as big and bad as you think they are, and you're not actually not as awful as you think you are. So we played the videos in class. Professor would add stuff, classmates would add stuff, you would add stuff. And so I think that was really beneficial for me because it kind of put me in this position of kind of being put on the spot, and kind of being, going back to, you know, talking about being put on the spot, I think one area where coaching has helped me is with networking and stuff, kind of being the new kid, you know, at the table or whatever, and also being like the youngest and stuff and trying to gain more experience and putting my name out there. And, you know, we do the, you know, 30-second like elevator pitch thing, you know, introduce yourself. Yeah. And so it's like I'm there with people who've been working for, you know, several decades. I'm like, yeah, it's my first year, blah, blah, blah. So I think that was good. The coaching aspect, you know, taught me how to implement those things in public and those settings. And then with the counseling program, it helped me kind of refine more of my counseling skills and coaching skills. Cause I mean, they're very similar. I mean, they're not the same thing, but they do share a lot of similarities.
That's fantastic. So yeah, I mean, the coaching helped level the playing field in terms of being able to interact with all these other different people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of fun to be the youngest guy in the room. And I think it's a talking point, you know?
Yeah.
And they find out that, you know, you're a certified life coach and you're doing that and you have a, you know, practice in addition to your school. I think people really respect that. And I think people go, oh, okay, cool, cool. And the funny thing is, and I've said this to you, but once you're done with your license, you know, your counseling program and you get your license and you still go to Nest or these other networking meetings, they will have thought you were a counselor the whole time.
Yeah.
It'll be funny because you didn't really start as a you started as a coach.
Yeah.
And you go in there and say, hey, I'm Drew. I'm in private practice, whatever. I'm a licensed counselor. Oh, yeah, man, we know you for years, dude. You know, yeah, I was a coach and then I transitioned over into counseling, right?
Yeah.
And it's just a seamless transfer. You know what I mean? Like in people's minds, and there's huge differences, but in some people's minds, you know, a coach and a counselor could be the same thing in from a consumer, you know, point of view, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway. So I think that's going to be, a really, really good thing. So,
yeah.
Okay. And I know you were starting a 12-step group through your church. Did that ever take off or that's still in process?
It's still a work in progress. Okay. So I had the idea starting beginning of my, this last semester at DBU. So that's kind of when the idea kind of started. And I mean, yeah, there's been some roadblocks. We've had a lot going on at our church, so I don't think it's been the most like pressing thing. One of my friends does work on staff, and so I've talked with him recently and he's going to try and help push that through and hopefully we can get that started. Okay. it wouldn't be through the church. It would just be at the church.
Okay, gotcha.
I'm hoping to get that 12-step program started and get that experience, but also, you know, help people in that area as well.
I'm excited. Hopefully that'll take off. And again, that'll be a nice experience for you to be kind of be the person who brings in the group, responsible for the group. Yeah, it's held at a church, but it's kind of sort of your deal, right? I mean, So I think that is a wonderful experience. And I brought in men's groups and stuff for a while there.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, in the 2000, early 2000s, 04, 5, 6, 7, that type of stuff. So and that was a good experience. There's some frustrations with that, but I don't want to talk about those because I don't want to dissuade you. I don't want to dissuade you from doing that. That initial group, because you're on fire for it. You want to help these men. I mean, you're bringing something to these guys. Man, they just desperately need it, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's made such a difference in my life, and you're on fire for it, right? And so, I don't want to do anything to dampen that, right?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Go for it, man. What's next? You know, and like you said, you start to hit these environmental challenges, nothing to do with you, nothing to do with the group, nothing to do with the material. It's just that the whole life on life's terms thing kind of starts to kick some ass, you know, regardless of whatever state of life you're in or your faith or whatever. Just, you know, you still have to deal and contend with environmental issues. So bless your heart there. Keep us posted on that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you got a taste of coaching. Mm-hmm. Now you got a pretty good taste of counseling. Do you think, and this is I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you think moving forward, do you think you'll kind of move forward with both of them, or you think you might let the coaching thing go by the wayside, or are you going to be like, you know what, I'm going to keep the coaching thing there if I need it?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Mean,
the way that I've always thought about it is I eventually want to do counseling. I do enjoy coaching, but what I really want to do is counseling. That being said, I don't think I'm going to drop off coaching, because one thing I do that I really like doing that I really don't see changing for the foreseeable future is, you know, I love working out and stuff, and that stuff I've done with my clients. And that's not really something I could necessarily do, you know, counseling, at least based on the way I understand it now. And with coaching, right, I can do that. And so with coaching, I can, you know, go to the park, go to the gym, go, you know, wherever. But with counseling, it's more, but it has to be a structured, you know, in office type environment. And so I think it just depends. I think with adolescents, if I keep working with them, or like young adults, probably I feel like that would be more of a coaching thing. But as I get older, you know, counseling for more older people. But I mean, I'm open to continue to coach, but I definitely would like to counsel.
I think, to be fair, and this is, you know, you've done marvelous. It's just that you've been kind of relegated to the types of clients you've been able to get.
Yeah.
And so that because of that relegation, it's kind of stunted in a way, in a loving way, right? It's like some of these men that I was coaching, I was doing a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? But these are executives and CEO, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I was coaching, but man, I was doing a lot of stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't working with youth and, you know, work, you know what I mean? It was this kind of a higher level of service that I felt incorporated some of the counseling stuff as well as coaching in the coaching environment, you know, very high touch, very, you know, working with their families and their bosses and their kids and flying to their home. And, you know what I mean? Really, you know, doing some kind of some high tone work though, but you'll have time to get that right.
Yeah. Oh, looks like Bruce vanished again. But yeah, just to continue off what he said, I would love to continue counseling. And with that 12-step group I want to do, it's for men who struggle with unwanted sexual behavior. So I think counseling-wise, that's probably the population I would like to work with the most. So, yeah, all good. I was just talking a little bit.
Keep knocking me off, man. It's like everybody waits till I'm doing the show, and then they got to come in here and try to knock me off.
Yeah.
So what population were you saying there at the end?
I was just saying, like, with that 12-step program,
right?
It's for men who, you know, struggle with unwanted sexual behaviors, whether that's pornography, you know, buying sex, whatever. Like, that's really, for a long time now, that's been the population I've wanted to work with, regardless of age.
So, you know, I gotta say, this is kind of a little bit of an aside, and I know I gotta wrap up here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my sex offender clients on the LSOTP side of the house, those guys that had the OnlyFans, they felt like they had a relationship with the chick in OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. Like, you know, the outsider says, hey, you're buying sexual materials and it's really bad for you and society and women and human traffic. And, well, you know, I kind of felt like I had this, you know, relationship. We kind of dialogue, and I'm just like, holy smokes, trying to make that foul ball fly straight.
Yeah.
Like it's inside some sort of normal relationship. And, but anyway, just, you know, part of my cognitive behavioral therapy work, you know, like the guy that downloaded all this porn into his Dropbox account and the FBI arrested him while he was still at the Verizon store. Unbelievable. Like how did you not
think of that?
Think about that. And so it just shows you the power of that addiction. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean, it just completely takes over the mind.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I mean, at the highest levels, you know, and I see it every day, but that's another show.
Yep. To be continued.
What else we got going? Well, look, man. So you're moving through, so you're excited about your next year in the counseling program, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I start my spring semester here in a couple of weeks, or a little less than 2 weeks.
So you got, is it still a year and a half more, or is it 2 years more?
I think 2 years more. So it'd be in total 2.5 years.
Okay.
So yeah, 2.5 year program.
But still, time and resources well spent.
Yeah.
And you'll be ready for that. So. Okay, and so any things you want to accomplish in 2025 for your coaching and or school?
Definitely get more clients for coaching, and then for school, just continue to absorb the material and to kind of go in without a ton of expectation, just kind of be a sponge and stuff, and not be so hard on myself to have to learn everything and understand it's a very long journey that never really ends. But yeah, so just patience with myself, I would say, just with the progress and the process.
Yeah, I agree. You just, like you said, do what you're supposed to do in school in terms of learning, participating in, you know, in the assignments, learning, doing what's requested of you, you know, kind of get a feel for the material, see which part of the material fits your personality the best at this point in time. And then, like you said, some things that we can do to hopefully get you some clients as well. I think that's a good goal to have too. Kind of keep both sides rolling. So, you know, again, I'm super proud of you. I'm proud of what you've done. I'm proud of what you've accomplished. I mean, you're the one that did the work. I mean, I told you what to do ish, but you did it. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, just because I'm pointing my finger, I don't get any credit. You know what I mean? So I definitely, you know, applaud you with taking those steps, doing what's necessary. And it's just a pleasure for me. And I know for your family, and I know your dad, hope your dad feels the same way as I do. You know, he does. I mean, he's out right. Yeah. He's proud of you to me. Yeah. And so it's just been, just a pleasure, and we're just going to keep this thing going and see, see how things develop for you moving forward, because we're gonna have some opportunities. We're going to have some opportunities come that we didn't see. So, sure. All right then. So let's wrap this thing up. Folks, that was a fantastic episode, wasn't it? Yes. The answer is yes. It was fantastic. It was wonderful. So you can come back and revisit this episode on Apple iTunes, iHeartRadio. We're on Amazon Audible, of course, on the LA Talk Radio site. Our shows are archived, so feel free to bring this up and show this to motivate yourself or somebody who's early on in the process of developing their coaching and or counseling career. So we want everybody to have a safe and blessed 2025. Thank you for having us. Thank you to LA Talk Radio and Sam for another great year behind us and hopefully another great year ahead of us. We love you guys. And so we're just super excited for the new year. So with that, we'll bid everybody a great afternoon and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, buddy. See you.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.